Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
Well, what is up? Good morning. We're glad you're here. You picked a good week to be here. We are on week 5 of our series, Blessed. A lot of new faces when you walked in today. I am really, really, really glad you're here. I love the worship. One of my second favorite sounds of this building is when we add more chairs. Come on, it's distracting, but it's so awesome to see new faces. If you're visiting Hope for the first time, Diane already said it to you, but we're really, really glad you're here. There's nothing worse than going somewhere and not feeling welcomed. There's nothing worse than going somewhere and not feeling welcome. So we want you to know you're welcome here. There's a seat at the table for you. If you're visiting for baptism, or if you're visiting because you just saw a billboard, or because you got some Instagram account, or somebody invited you, we want you to know we are glad that you're here today. We're baptizing a handful of our friends and family today. If you're visiting for baptism, we want you to know we're glad you're here. Come back next week, and I believe that God's going to continue to do something incredible in your life. I believe he's going to honor your obedience for being here today. He's going to honor your expectation. He's going to honor you wanting to hear from God's word today. And so we have a lot to celebrate today, and I'm excited. I'm very, very excited today for so many things. We have one of our high school students. She is graduating from college today. Isn't that pretty cool? She hasn't graduated from high school yet, but she's graduating from college. Isn't that pretty cool? That's awesome. Come on, this church has some overachievers in it. There's some overachievers in it. And I'm just so thankful. I was trying to figure out why Tyson had a tie on today. And then I thought it was you dressed up because your mom came to church. And because I know my mom comes to church, sometimes I feel like I gotta dress up from my PTSD days when I used to dress up for church. But we're really excited for that. That's awesome. And then Matt and Vanessa are some of our dream teamers. They've been here for a handful of years, have done so much and impacts my life. They're 7 days married. Come on, 7 days married. I mean, you guys are basically professionals now. I mean, after 7 days, you get the gist of it. You get the gist of it. It's going to be awesome. And then all the baptisms. And then one of the things I'm really, really excited about today is I'm really excited about the word that God has for all of us. We're really, really excited. We've been in a series called Blessed. It's a series on the Beatitudes. And the word blessed, we learned week one that it's this word happy. Like, happy are those. And Jesus gives a list of what it means to actually be blessed. And what we've tried to do in this series is redeem the word blessed. We try to take it back. There's a lot of things that the world has taken away, and we're trying to take back the word blessed and the word blessing back from the world, because Jesus gave us this word, and he tells us what it means to be blessed. And one of the things that we believe as a church, if we're followers of Jesus, is that we believe that we ought to do what Jesus says for us to do. We ought to believe what Jesus tells us to believe. And we ought to believe and we ought to do what God's called us to do based upon this word. And so if you're joining us today, you're like, what kind of church is this? I had one of the cheerleader moms came a few months ago, and she goes, I really like this church. And I'm like, cool, what do you like about it? She's like, I really like that you believe the Bible. And I'm like, well, what do the rest of the churches believe? You know, where you been going at? You know what I'm saying? I want to visit. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I realized that maybe you could come and maybe the Bible's not the big deal. Maybe Jesus on the cross is not the big deal. But for us, that's a big deal. That is the deal. It's like it's a big deal. It's like it's something. It's optional. Like, that is everything. The crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus Christ in this word. I was doing a morning meditation today, which one of the dream teams like, hey, you got to do this meditation. I'm like, I'll try it. I don't know if that means if he's sending me meditations. He's like, you have some issues. You need this. When the people that go to your church are sending you Bible plans, that's problematic. You know what I'm saying? So he's like, you need to do this meditation. So I was like, I'll try a meditation. Like, it can't hurt. You know what I'm saying? And I was doing the meditation today, and I was realizing, man, that this is God's word. God's word for us today is literally God breathing on us today. Which you're like, it's morning time. I don't want anybody breathing on me. But God is breathing on you. His word is gonna, it's gonna be the breath in your lungs today. Like, you're gonna hear the voice of God today. Not like weird, maybe that's been weird for you, some other environment you've been in, but like, you're literally gonna hear the voice of God today. And so I'm in this meditation, and he's like, listen, you're gonna hear, the voice is always so calm. I wish I had one of those smooth meditation voices. I don't. But he's like, right now, you're gonna experience the breath of God coming into your lungs. I'm going to encourage you I'm going to be sharing it out. Like, it was great for me. But you're literally going to get the breath of God in your lungs. And so he says to us, I'm going to tell you what blessed is. I'm going to tell you what happy is. And it's going to be bad news and good news, maybe for some of you guys here today. It's going to be contrary to what the world teaches. Like, because what the world says is blessed if you get the promotion, which that's awesome. It is a blessing, but it's not. It doesn't make you blessed. Blessed is someone who get, oh, you found a good wife. Like, no, like, you got the promotion. You got the boat. You got the house. You got the car. All the things that are good things. They're not bad things. Those are all things that God gives us. The Bible says every good and perfect gift, it comes from above. All those things, they're not bad things. But Jesus tells them, I'm going to tell you what blessed is. And he goes, are you guys ready for it? And he's speaking this on a mountain to thousands of people. And every single line is a mic drop moment with God. I was joking. I've preached half this series, and Chris preached a week, and my best friend Joey last week, he preached a week. And I'm like, it's kind of funny that we're trying to preach a message that Jesus preached. I don't know if that's a good idea or a bad idea, but we're trying it. Blessed are those. Happy are those. At the end of the day, we really can crunch it down to this, that happy are those who are in the kingdom of God. Because really, these are just attributes of people who are in the kingdom of God. When we baptize our friends in just a few moments at the end of the service, but these are all people that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. They've recognized Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. They've recognized that he's came and he's on this earth. He's died on the cross. He's rose again for their sins, and he's changed their life. And they're going to go with an outward expression of an inward transformation. And Jesus tells us, I'm going to tell you, when you have that relationship, this is what that looks like. This is what that looks like. And so he kind of gives a couple of thoughts, he gives us nine of these things, and we're going to take 8 weeks and get them all in there. But he says here, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. There's a healthy way to mourn, by the way. The world offers us coping. Jesus offers us a healthy way to mourn. Blessed those who have a poor spirit. Blessed are those who are humble. I got to preach that one. That's one I'm working on. And when you preach something, you get like, God gives you opportunities to see if you actually believe what you're preaching. It's miserable. I wish I didn't have the one. I wanted to preach last week's, which was blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I wanted that one because I like that one. That one feels good. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness, because we know that God can fill us. I love that one, but I got stuck with humility. So I got a text message from one of my friends who owns a couple of businesses in town, and she goes, hey, I voted for you on the local Winter Garden app, most influential, inspirational something. And instantaneously, my pride began to well up. I was like, this is amazing. I'm the freaking man. They want me. I'm on the, and I'm like, I gotta see this. Yeah. Yeah, all that in my head is going, Wes. And I'm going, I got to see who else is on here. I got to, you know what I thought? This is real talk. Every week's real talk, but this is like special. I'm like, I'm going to see who the competition is. I got to know who I'm going up against, see who I'm better than. I open up the website. I'm like, I'm so close to seeing. I go to whatever the topic is, click on it. And then it said, you must have an account to go in. And as soon as I went to go to hit click an account, Jesus said, blessed are those who are humble. And I'm like, dang it, I wanted to see so bad. I wanted to see who I was up against so bad, but it begins so well up. I'm like, and it's like, I'm having a moment. I'm having church by myself, and God goes, no one needs to know who you are. Nobody cares. Like, you said, the audience that matters the most to you is me, and blessed are those who are humble. No one needs to see me, but most of my life, I wanted people to see me and not see God. Well, I'm choosing this. So, I don't know who I'm up against. And it's okay. I was talking to a group of guys. They're like, bro, great message on humility. Thank you. I'm like, don't tell me that. Like, that goes against the message. I'm trying not to be great. I'm trying to decrease, and I'm trying to get God to increase. And they go, bro, that was good. And they said, God is really working on our humility. I said, dude, I'm so awesome. I said, man, that's so awesome. That's so awesome. It's a tension to manage. I'm just like, oh, go me, go God, go me, go God, go me, go God. I'm always like, no, go God, go God. I try really hard. I'm doing my best. I'm work in progress. But I'm like, what happened? What was God teaching? Like, we were on the golf course the other day. I'm like, you're just a bad golfer. He's not teaching you humility. Like, you're just bad. Like, go get less. He's trying to tell you to go get lessons. He says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are humble. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And today, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, I've been in this one. I have been in a season of my life where I'm like, you're not getting mercy, you're getting mercy. You're not getting mercy, you're getting mercy. You're not getting mercy. And Jesus says, for the people that give mercy, they receive mercy. So I hate to break it to you today. You might not like this one. But he tells us, blessed are the merciful. And I, you know, some things I'm like, okay, you put that in there one time. That must be like important. But it's all throughout scripture. The mercy of God and the people of God showing mercy. And I'll be honest with you, we're not good at it. That's why it's in there. That's why it's in like the Mount Rushmore of sermons. Hey, be merciful, because you guys are going to be so terrible at that. Because you're not going to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You're going to do unto others as they've done to you. They throw a rock, I'm going to throw a rock. They throw a stick, I'm going to throw a bigger stick. They're not as good as Christian as I am, so I'm not going to give them mercy. We're not that good. We like mercy. It sounds awesome. It preaches good when it comes from God. But when it comes time for us to give it, he goes, blessed are the people who are merciful, because they are going to receive mercy. Maybe you're in a dry spell of mercy, and maybe it's because you're not giving mercy. And so I don't know if you picked a good day or a bad day to be here. Matthew 6, verse 8 says this, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you. This is not optional. Bad news. There are some things I'm like, they must have did it. I wish that was a misprint. I wish there was a mistranslation from the Greek and Hebrew to the English. I wish there was a misprint, but it's not. He says here, blessed are those who are merciful. He goes, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right and to love mercy. He didn't say like mercy. Mercy's optional. And he says, and to walk humbly with God. James chapter 2, verse 13, there will be no mercy. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to other people. But if you've been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. I don't know about you, but now that I hear that, I'm like, y'all want to give mercy. If there's a contingency on this deal, I want to give mercy. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy. I wrote it down this way. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Like, they did something wrong. That's there for us. Our job is not to do it back to them. Our job is to give them mercy. It's what he tells us to do. We have to give mercy. I realized this. I went through a traumatic season, and a guy came to me, a spiritual leader in my life. He goes, hey, you need to give mercy because one day you're going to need it. And I was like, dang it. But that was right from the Bible. I love this quote from Thomas Adams. He said this, he that demands mercy and shows none ruins the bridge over which he himself is to pass. I feel like we're going to walk out of here today with a lot more mercy, I think. Here's an illustration for you from Matthew chapter 18. Jesus gives us this teaching in Matthew chapter 18 about what it means to be merciful. Then Peter came to him and he asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sinned against me? And he says, seven times. That's a good number, because seven's the number of perfection. That's a good number. I think that's a good number. Isn't seven awesome? And then after seven, we're done with them, right? That would be awesome. I wish the passage of scripture ended there. But it doesn't. Jesus goes, no, not even seven times. And they're like, okay, five? Three? Three's good. Three's number of the Trinity. Five's number of grace. Like, I would be figuring out a different number besides seven. And Jesus is like, no, 70 times seven. Smart people, 490. High school graduates in just a few weeks, 490. And they're like, 490? Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Like, God, multiplication? Isn't it funny how we want God to use multiplication in our life when it comes to like blessings, but when it comes for us to love people, serve people, give to God, all things, we don't like multiplication, we like addition. Addition sounds good. God, you use multiplication for me, and I'll use addition for everybody else. That's how we roll. That's how I roll. You know, there's Olympics and there's all these different sports and USA, all the things, you know, all the things that are like all the highest level of competition. I used to always say it this way. If there was a competition on being judgmental and being merciless, I could be in it. And then I got humbled. And I needed to learn this scripture on being merciful. So here's what he says. Here's what I'm gonna give you guys. Him, he gives to teach him. He's like, hey, 70 times 7, 490. Okay, let me one up it. Check this story. Here's what he says. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a kingdom, to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with the servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. Come on, thank you, New Living Translation. A lot of money. He couldn't pay it back. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. Yo, that's expensive. Sell all your kids. You're going to go to debt or prison. Sell everything so you can pay me back. But the man fell down before his master, and he begged him, please be patient with me or be merciful on me. I will pay it all. Now, thankful I'm not Jesus, but if I was Jesus, I'd be going, or if I was his master, I'd be going, you're not going to be able to pay it all. You ain't got it, bro. You broke. And you ain't got enough money. You don't have enough. You have to sell everything you got. And you still don't have enough money. And he says here in verse 26, he's begging him. Then verse 27. Then his master was filled with pity for him or mercy for him. And he released him and he forgave his debt. Y'all, that is mercy. That's what we are called to do. That's what we're called. That's how we're called. You owe me. You deserve a punishment. But this passage of scripture goes, hey, you're not going to give them punishment. You're not going to give them what they deserve. You're going to give them mercy. You're going to give them grace. You're going to give them love. You're going to give them acceptance. I don't know about you, but I don't like that. I think an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Can you just nod your head if you're with me? I know some of you guys are there with me. Some of you guys, you've already grown through this. So you're like, I've already had a season in my life where I had to learn mercy. A lot of times, big stuff like this, like mercy and humility, the big ones, God takes you through a valley so you can learn it. And unfortunately, I've been in enough merciless valleys that I'm like, yo, I ain't trying to go in there no more. That didn't feel good. I being in an arrogant valley or a prideful valley, the Bible says pride comes before the fall. I'm not interested in falling again more. It hurts every time I fall. I'm not interested. I'd like to get an exemption from that. We've had some 12th graders at our house the last 3 months, just poured into them and loving on them and serving them. And I'm like, what are you guys worried about? What are you 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 worried about? And we've just been addressing, like, we're trying to make sure they don't have to go through what we went through. That's what we're giving them. Every week, each of those months, God's put something in my heart to share it. And I was like, I don't want them to have to go through the valleys that I went through. So he goes here, this pastor's scripture. He's like, we're called to give mercy. And so this is awesome story if it ends there. Yay, awesome. God's love, God's forgiveness. This is how we should be inside the kingdom. This is amazing. But it gets worse before it gets better. Verse 28. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He owed millions of dollars and was forgiven. Now he goes out and he finds one of the guys that owes him thousands of dollars. The Bible says that he grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. Now that's, I know you don't like that. And like maybe it feels like a little bit of finger pointing, and so maybe I'll turn a little bit. Maybe that's me. I'm like, dude, you owe me. I hate owing people, by the way. I hate owing people. Whatever it is. I'm like, if I borrow $5 from you, I want to give it back to you really, really quick. If I borrow $10, I want to give it back to you really, really quick. I think that Jesus is teaching you and I that we are called to not be like this guy. Don't be this guy. There's a lot of reasons why there's a lot of stuff in the Bible, but God gives us an illustration of who not to be like. Don't be this guy. You do not want to be this guy. You want to be the forgiver, not the guy walking out and grabbing people by the neck. The Bible says that he grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. Verse 29, his fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little bit more. Now you're going, this seems familiar. This is what happened last time. And he says, be patient with me. I will repay it. He's begging him. But his creditor wouldn't wait, wouldn't get mercy. He had the man arrested and he put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. Two opposing options. You can give lots of grace and receive grace, or you can not give grace and not give mercy and then not receive mercy. Here's what happens. Here's what he says. Verse 31, when some of the other servants saw this, they were very, very, very upset. And they went to the king and they told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man that he had forgiven. And he said, you evil, evil West Beacham. Fill in the blank. If you're not a mercy person, put your name there. I forgave you millions of debt, millions, tremendous debt, because you pleaded with me. I thought you were completely emptied of yourself. I begged you, you begged and you pleaded. I thought your life was changed, transformed, renewed. I thought this was a breakthrough moment. I thought that was a breakthrough moment for you. And probably if you're me, you're like, that would have been enough to have a breakthrough. If I was forgiven, I don't owe a whole lot more on my house. But if my creditors call me and go, hey, we're cool, paid in full, I'd be like, thank you, I love you. I'd kiss that creditor. Hug him, kiss his shoes. I'll do whatever you, man, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And then I'd be going, what I would do, and you guys know me, this isn't like he's making this up. I'd be like, this is awesome. I'm gonna go find how I can bless people. Di and I are pretty committed that our cost of living go down and our giving goes up and our cost of living going down. We're just committed to that. So we really try hard to be responsible and we try to give it away. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Like, we want to give a lot away because Jesus says, we've been given much, so much will be required. We want to give a lot of it away. Man, it feels good to give. And one of the things I want to give is I want to be really good at giving mercy. I want to give mercy well. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. Verse 32, then the king called in the man that he had forgiven. He said, you evil, evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king, he's upset. You don't want to upset the king. Then the angry king, the king sent this man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. He's like, this is what you're going to get. You don't want to give mercy? You're not going to receive mercy. I gave you mercy, but you didn't want it, so therefore you're going to get what you deserved. My wife and I spent a lot of time this week talking about consequences. There's consequences for our actions. If you speed, there's consequence. There's consequences for life. Life, there's consequences. The cool thing is that with all of our sins, there's a consequence. That's good and bad. The really good news is that Christ has paid the punishment on the cross for us, but there are still consequences. Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had his entire debt paid. Verse 35, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. I wrote down two questions today. Who do you need to give mercy to? Who do you need to give mercy to? Here's what I realized today. You'll never give mercy freely until you receive true mercy from God. When it gets you, when the mercy of God gets you, when it gets you and you get it, you're like, I'm gonna give mercy. You get mercy, 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 you get mercy. And probably the hardest people to give mercy to probably are the people that you're sitting next to. Come on. Come on. It would be for me. My dad's in the front row. I've had to give my dad mercy. He's had to give me mercy. He's also spanked me, but he's also given me mercy. And maybe the spanking was the mercy. I don't know. Maybe it could have been worse. He said, I grew up in the school of, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out of it. That's what my dad said to me, and I believed it. And so maybe the spanking was the mercy. Maybe I should have died when I was 12. I don't know. I'm here to live and tell the story. So maybe I'm an example of mercy. I gotta be careful. I don't want to be too good of an example of mercy because then that goes against my humility, but I'm working on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's attention. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. Are you good at giving mercy? Or are you like, no, but today I'm gonna start? Are you good at being compassionate and forgiving? I'm not Pastor West, but I'm gonna start. for some of us in the room here today, the problem that it's hard for you to give the mercy because you've never received the mercy from God. And all the people that we're going to baptize in just a few moments, they've placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And I'd like to give you an opportunity to do the same exact thing. I told you guys at the very beginning of our gathering today that we're big on the Bible. We're big on God's truth. It's the word of God. It's the breath of God. But we're also big on the salvation of people. Like we didn't come here to start a church. We came here to reach a city for Jesus Christ. And so maybe you're here today and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Today's your moment to invite Jesus to be your savior. He came, he died, and he rose again for your sins and for my sins. And because of that, we've been given mercy. We deserved punishment, but he gave us mercy. And maybe we have a hard time giving the mercy because we never received the mercy of God. So I'd like to give you an opportunity today to invite Jesus to be your savior. I want to invite you all across the way just to bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. I want to try to make it as clear as I possibly can today that we need a savior. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that we're all sinners and we've fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, we've fallen short. And it's okay because if you've fallen short, you're in good company because every single one of us have missed the mark. Romans 3, 23. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that because we've sinned, there's a punishment for our sins. There's a punishment for your sins. And it's complete separation from God. But it goes a little bit further. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says that even though you were a sinner, Christ died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And then Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, then we can be saved. We can have salvation. And so if you're here today and you've never accepted the free gift of salvation, today's your moment. Maybe you thought you were coming here today to see your friend be baptized. Or maybe you thought you were coming here today because somebody invited you. But you're here today because Jesus wants you to invite him in. Jesus wants you to invite him into your life. So if you've never done that before, right where you're at, would you just say, dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that you died and you rose again for my sins. Jesus, would you come into my life and would you save me? Would you make me new?
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.